Forever Dog.
I've got a handful of mooning stories that people sent in.
Okay.
That are, yeah, they're really good. There's a lot of good ones here. And I also did a, I also made a PowerPoint about the history of mooning.
oh my God.
So good. I got a couple slides.
Is that what you did when your wife was practicing like her breathing and her like birth plan? You were like, shut up. I have stuff too. I'm giving birth to a project that means a lot to me.
Hitler sucks. Everything I hear sucks.
His early work.
He sucked as a painter. He just sucked. And I'm not afraid to go on the record with that. This guy sucked. And I know, and I'm even going to go further and say, like, I know you're usually supposed to say the views of this show are not necessarily the views of Double Threat or the Forever Dog Podcast Network.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm saying right now, the Forever Dog Podcast Network is going on record as saying Hitler sucked.
You should talk to Joe before you.
That's true. Or the other guy, Keith.
Clammy, the one who died.
It is
with a heavy heart.
Yeah.
We announced the retiring of our beloved Clammy.
Yeah. Clammy. Who's Clammy?
Who the fuck is Clammy?
It's been great working with you.
What is
Wait, we worked with you?
What did we do?
We worked. I didn't know I worked with you.
What did Clammy do? Did he mix the theme song or something?
It's been a privilege. The thing we built together was so amazing. It's like, what?
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Yeah.
The worst, it was from Joe. It wasn't even from Clammy himself.
No. Look. They made this guy up to be a tax dodge.
For us to be like.
This guy's a tax dodge. They just made it's up like some guy.
It's like Trading Places.
Yeah. They're just like, hey, everyone. It's Joe and Brett from Forever Dog. We just want to say Clammy took all the money. We apologize. We really got duped by Clammy. We don't know where he is right now. But he's got all your money. Clammy's got it. Then it's just like, and we're just like, oh no, Julie, I feel so bad for Joe and Brett. Clammy really took him to the cleaners. Then we're just like, hey, wait a minute. You go over Brett's and you see the Clammy costume in the corner.
It looks like a mess. It's one of those costumes where like a giant hat covers the head and the face is drawn on the belly.
Yeah. Why does Clammy look like Tony Clifton?
I just want to clarify that the Clammy bit is in reference to Forever Dog's former beloved CEO Gary, who gave us several great years of service before moving on. Yeah. So thank you, Gary. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. We learned
it really is like a first from Sir with Love thing with me and Julie and Gary from Forever Dog.
We're gonna have to start every episode with I pledge allegiance to Gary. The Gary who started this Forever Dog and to the Gary.
It definitely didn't start it.
Well, what did he do?
Yeah.
What did he do?
If this dude didn't start it.
If he didn't start it, then what was he doing behind the scenes? And don't give me that, oh, he pulled the string. It's like a plumber. What's that expression? When you do your job, no one notices. And when you screw up, there's shit everywhere. Was that Gary's job?
You want to know what Gary's deal was? Gary in the parlance of the Irishman, Julie.
Painted houses?
Gary painted houses. Somebody gets out of line. One of these podcast guys gets out of line. Suddenly Gary's like, oi, You got a problem?
Oh, I thought you were going to say you got a nice house here. You got be ashamed if someone painted it.
Nice podcast network here.
Now we're talking.
Shame if somebody with a can of gasoline. Gary's at Max Fun with a can of gasoline. Funny thing about petrol. You spread it around. You light a little match. Next thing you know, you're not doing no podcasts, are you?
I think they just got scared of Gary. Like Joe Brett are like...
Gary got too big for his britches.
Like... Gary just went over and Gary just beat the shit out of everybody over at Earwolf, thrashed everyone. And it's just like, maybe we should not make Gary CEO.
Just pay him off to leave us alone.
He won't go.
Unless they killed him.
Yeah. Unless they might have killed Gary. Gary might be in the Pacific Ocean somewhere.
Hello, LAPD.
Yeah.
It's me, Tom Sharpling, again.
Yeah.
No, don't worry. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
I just wanted to file a missing persons report.
Yeah. Oh, you two.
I'm pretty.
You two getting a little chicken, eh? You don't want me to take care of business no more, right? I went over. I just beat the tar out of Jesse Thorne.
Like, he just attacks podcasters.
And then Brett and Joe start getting worried because every night their phone's ringing. It's Gary. And he's like, just wanted to say goodnight.
Yeah.
Sleep well.
And he's like, good news, mate. I just got a podcast on the network. Tom Sizemore is going to start doing a show. And I ran into him at a bar last night.
And Brett and Joe are like,
we don't want Tom Sizemore.
Gary's hanging out with Tom Sizemore?
Yeah. Apparently Tom Sizemore's the flagship show of our network now.
I got news. Yeah.
Yeah.
The good news and bad news. Phil Spector's dead.
I was going to say Phil Spector. I swear, Julie, if I was ever, if you and I were ever on the same page more, I was on the... On my lips was Phil Spector when you just said Phil.
That was the bad news. And then guess who I was about to say was the good news? Who could do a show on Forever Dog?
Who?
No, guess. Robert Blake.
Oh, Robert Blake. Yeah.
Great news. Robert Blake's doing a show on the network now. He's the host of Race Chasers.
great news. It's now called Robert Blake's Race Chasers.
But he don't want none of this drag stuff no more. He wants to talk about spaghetti and...
ladies in restaurants.
He wants to talk about his carbonara with the spinach. His and then famous dish.
The second half of the podcast is just him licking knives.
It's him licking knives from that restaurant where he had his dish. What was the name of his dish, Brett? Do you remember?
Oh, not off the top of my head. Let me look.
Charlie Potatoes au gratin.
Yeah.
You listen to me, Charlie Potatoes.
When he called
Piers Morgan
Charlie Potatoes, still one of the great
somethings of something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he changes Race Chasers into knife lickers.
Robert Blake's knife lickers. And then they're just like, it's popular. Did you see the numbers on Robert Blake's knife lickers? I think we got a hit on our hands.
We still got to get rid of Gary somehow.
Yeah.
It's Blake. It was Vitello's in Studio City. Vitello's is where he would eat. And there's apparently a dish there named after him. That must be the one that he liked. Which is like a spinach pasta dish that's now, it's still on the menu, it says, named after Robert Blake.
Great
It's still
job.
Named after him on the menu?
That's what it says here. Yeah.
I just want to say, LA, you're great in a lot of ways, but in other ways, you don't understand the good fame versus the bad fame. No,
people out here, oh my God, I went to a Winchell's donut. The donut situation out here is...
Oh, it's outrageous. You guys have more donuts per capita. I mean, It's a donut lover's dream.
It really is. It's just like, for this place, it's supposed to be all about appearance and stuff. I've never seen more hamburger and donut places on the planet. Absolutely.
It's the first thing you it's the first thing you see when you get, when you drive away from LAX, is that giant donut from the Mars Attacks.
Oh yeah. No, that's the donut of Mars Attacks. Iron Man has sat on top of that donut.
Wow, that sounds like a thrilling moment.
It was a pretty fun moment in the movie when he sat on a donut.
All right, now Tony Stark's going to like sit on that donut and then we're going to pick up from where we left off. Did he lay an egg?
Hey, maybe we could cut this scene where Tony Stark sits on a donut, on that donut by the airport.
I told you I walked out of Iron Man.
Boy, you missed it then.
I know. So wait, you were talking about going to get a donut.
I go in this place to get a donut. I'm just like, I want a donut today. Sure. I'm going to go get a donut. These guys get through the door in front of me. Like one of those things, you know, when you're trying to go in a place and somebody gets in just ahead of you and you're just like, oh, damn it. I'm behind this person now.
Yeah. Or just go ahead, asshole. This is clearly more important to you.
Yeah. But I just like, I knew these guys were going to take forever. These two, like,
it's more than one.
Yeah. There's two guys and they go in and they go, we want to get a dozen donuts.
Oh, they're going to pick them like individually, right? They're going to say each.
Julie.
They have 12, right?
The
12
one of guy 12. Took his phone out and called. He's like, we're at the donut shop. What do you want for tomorrow? What donuts do you want?
Come on. For tomorrow?
For tomorrow morning. They're buying these donuts for tomorrow morning. They took so long in this donut place, going donut by donut through the thing. I thought it was in that Mr. Show sketch when Bob Odenkirk's in. It was worse than that.
I want a plain donut. I want a frosted donut.
The guy's on the phone going, so what do you want? And the guy on the phone was like, I like a crawler. It's like, okay, one crawler, one glazed twist. That, or they call it out here a glazed twist. Weird.
Okay.
And then he's like, what else you want? Apple crumble. Apple. You got an apple crumble? Yeah, one of those. And they were going so slow with it. It just was like, and it's not uncommon. It's like they're
no
they're,
one's
they're
in like, a rush out there. No one's in a rush out there.
They're like hillbillies a little bit. Beverly Hillbillies.
I remember the show. Well, you wished you were in the Mr. Show sketch. You wish you were in the scene from Boogie Nights. You could take out your piece. Bang, bang.
Yeah. Get when Don Cheadle had free run of that donut show. The problem with that, if I was in that moment, I probably would have just grabbed donuts and ran out. I would have reached over.
Your pregnant wife in the car
would
be like,
I would have brought home six more donuts. Yeah. In that, looking all cash in the thing, be just like, cash. Then my eye goes over the other way. Donuts, cash,
Christmas donuts. Christmas donuts too.
And then I would just be like, "What good is money, really?"
Come back, blood splattered.
Yeah, blood splattered. There's blood on these donuts.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun
with the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
If anybody says Boogie Nights is their favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movie, isn't it like a giveaway?
That they don't like Paul Thomas Anderson?
Or that maybe they don't like him, or maybe they're just on a different wavelength than you are.
I think first of all, I think it's you are, because I still am like a pre Johnny Greenwood. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
I prefer his John Bryan movies.
Okay.
I like There Will Be Blood, but you're a way bigger PTA fan as far as like the second, like the his later career.
Yeah. I think Phantom Thread is his best movie.
I know. You love that part where she makes an omelet and gives him diarrhea.
I love it because it's basically about a movie about diarrhea where
Frank Zappa should have scored it. Johnny Green, whoever.
And suddenly you get that movie. It's just like, instead of like the score of just like, so it's like boom, boom, stuck in a gas station bathroom. Be like, gas station bathroom. Like, how is that fitting this movie? Got the Hershey squirts like, tonight.
There we go. And now we're on the same page.
Got them Hershey squirt blues. And you're just like, this has nothing to do with the movie that's taking place. It kind of
does. My baby made me an omelet after I sewed some clothes.
Yeah. Sewing some clothes, eating an omelet. Got the Hershey squirt blues.
You do the math. I'm on the toilet again.
Yeah, and then you have like the studios watching the first screening of it, and they're just like, look, we got one big note. Are you sure you want all this Frank Zappa running through this period, this British early 50s period piece about high fashion
and dark love? And you look over there and all of a sudden Paul Thomas Anderson has like the mustache goatee combo.
New Paul Thomas Anderson movie this Christmas.
What's it about?
70s, growing up in the valley in the 70s.
Write what you know.
And it seems like it's going to be good. I hear things.
Mm-hmm. You got your ear to the ground out there.
A little bit.
I got my ear to the ground here, and it's people screaming on the subway. I put my ear on top of that subway grate. I hear bloody murder.
Mm-hmm.
And then Andrew Cuomo humping the train, the top of the train, like in Speed. Yeah. Keanu Reeves gets on the top of the train, only he's just like humping it. And saying, forget about it after at every thrust.
When Andrew Cuomo and Chris Cuomo were doing their Laurel and Hardy routines on those things, shouldn't just everyone over at CNN just be ashamed now that they let them do like straight up vaudeville routines where they would tease each other when it's just like
mom likes you best, mom hates you, that kind of stuff.
It's like the Smothers Brothers.
Well, if you didn't like that, the Curtis Sliwa debates are really gonna bum you out, because I think he has like giant clown shoes. He's got like a squirting flower.
What are the odds of him winning, becoming mayor? Curtis Sliwa.
Well, the odds ain't good, but the goods are odd.
I'm pulling for him.
I know.
I want a Curtis Sliwa, Mike Richards
ticket,
mayoral ticket for New York City. Even though Mike Richards clearly is not from New York City. What? All of a sudden, everybody loves Jeopardy.
I had no idea how invested I was in Jeopardy until this thing happened, and then I wasn't sure how much of it was the pandemic and how much of it was, but for some reason when Mike Richards chose himself, I just lost my mind. And I'm sure, you know, we'll all be dead in, you know, 3 years tops, but if, you know, down the road we're gonna look back and we're gonna think, wow, I really cared a lot about that,
about Jeopardy,
about him picking himself being so unfair.
Yeah, no, it's gross. It's wildly gross.
And what was the name of his podcast? The Random D-U-M-B podcast? Did Forever Dog pass on that one? Or did they not? Were you outbid?
We were outbid. We tried to get it. I mean, you know, because a lot of this stuff's taken out of context. You listen to the whole thing, you know, it was actually pretty good, a pretty good show. So still upset that we got outbid on that one.
No, he might be available.
Yeah, you might be able to afford it now. Send Gary over to negotiate with Mike Richards. If he was still with us.
Gary Clams. That's why I called him Clammy. I forgot his last name was
Good
Clams.
Old Clammy over there. It's a weird time we're in where these things show up and have the ability to take literally all of our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I fall for it also, even though I'm just like, and it took all of my attention to take the position that I don't care about Jeopardy. And yeah. I don't care who a host is. That's an investment for me to take that stand.
I know.
I mean, look, I do care. I didn't want Mike Richards to be the host either. But it's like, it's like, okay, make it LeVar Burton. If that's the right person, I don't watch the show to even know if he's good or bad or anything.
I got carried away.
Do you like LeVar Burton as the host?
I like the idea of LeVar Burton as the host. I didn't watch those. It is kind of weird also that they had guest hosts and they kind of made America feel like it was American Idol, like they could choose. And yes. Then they were like, just kidding. You can't choose. It's me.
Yeah. 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 They really boofed it with that too, in terms of making it seem like there's some sort of vote that was non-existent. Because like, oh, hey, it turns out the guy that,
the winner is me.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let me. Oh, what? Me? He opens the envelope. I guess it's me. I guess I'll do it. It's in his own handwriting, his name. Really? Yep. Oh, okay.
I've
had with these eggheads. These eggheads.
Like, here we go.
I just like these phony baloney memorizing people that aren't actually that smart. They just memorize the name. Oh, I'm the. Who's the current president? Oh, I know that. It's Joe Biden. Oh, aren't you so smart? Oh, aren't you a rocket scientist? You just memorized it.
This is your problem with the crying magician. You were mad at him for memorizing who was in every seat.
Yeah, I don't even think he was memorizing it. There's somebody flashing a flashlight behind him.
I think he was memorizing a flashlight.
Yeah, saying like, yeah, that one. This one's over there. That one's they probably got
Morse code.
Yeah, probably some code.
You don't think the audience would know if the lights were flashing around them?
Well, not if it's a little teeny tiny pen light. Look, there's no way that guy memorizes 200 things a night. And if he does, then yeah, he's just memorizing. But I told you what I would do to that guy if I was the show. Just deny that I was the one that wrote the one thing. He'd be like, and you're someone who feels.
No, you'd be like, you're the Joker.
Yeah. No, I'm not. No, that's not what I wrote on mine.
And then he'd be like, well, show me your card. And then you'd rip it up in your pocket.
You're a seeker. Nope. Not either. Not that either. You're someone who feels lost at a party. Nope. That's wrong again. And then I'd start going.
You crumple it up and just eat it really fast.
I make him card. Eat it. I shove it in his mouth really fast. Yeah, look, hey, I just did magic. I made it disappear.
Would intercept it and look at the card and see that you were lying.
Yeah. He'd be like, try to get it out of his mouth. I'd be like, look, I made the card disappear. I guess I'm a magician too. Then I take that dumb book of his and throw it in the street. A cab runs over it. My book! Gets knocked into a puddle. So wet now. I can't. He's backstage with a blow dryer. The pages are all wrinkly.
It's like the end of Back to the Future when you realize Doc Brown had taped up that letter.
Yeah, that's what it would be. That would be me with his book. Yeah. Go cry again. You're going to cry because I threw your book in the street?
Headline, Tom Bully's Crying Magician.
Yeah.
Kind of an easy target when you think about it.
Yeah.
He's already crying and he's a magician.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of headlines, the headline of this episode is Mooning.
That's right. All of this talk right now had nothing to do with today's episode. But Brett, you got to admit one thing.
Yeah.
It's gold.
Oh, it's incredible. Oh, it's the best. Oh, it's just, it's absolute gold. Just a never ending river of gold every week.
Never I think anything. He's saying a river. Are you saying like urine? Like it's a river of gold?
Well, it would be on, it would be loosely on theme. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You've never riffed on Zappa doing pee-pee anything.
No. Well, don't get me started. We're never going to get to this show. Now today's show came out of last week's show. We talked about a little thread of something, and Julie told her basically your origin story in comedy.
I don't know if it was that. If I was a superhero, you mean?
Yeah. Well, it's just the first. Is it one of the first times you felt the power of making someone laugh?
Sure. Do you have a story like that?
Yeah, I would prank phone call my grandfather and... just but he they it was just like I would just like joke around and call and like
what would you say
one time I called and I said I was calling from the fire from the fire department and we were just seeking donations and I just was and he was just like we don't want to do like you're being very pushy and then like my father would call up and go like yeah that was Tom.
You'd ask for donations on behalf of the fire department.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that
or what?
Or like I said one another time I was like cuz they my grandparents did a thing with like collies like where they had them like as like show dogs and then I did some call one time where I talked about how I had a collie that I wanted to sell them. And they're just like, I'm not looking to buy a collie. And just 5 minutes later, my father, yeah, it was Tom.
Hello, my name is, how did you start it? My name is Milt Morganson.
Something like that. And then I'd just be like, then we'd go to like eat dinner at their house. And my grandfather would just be like, I tell you, he got me good with that. That when he said, and he'd like go through it blow by blow. And I was like, yeah, this is the, I think I just got the power of,
yeah,
of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, but your origin, the moment you realize that power,
if that's the narrative you want to put on it, I'm all for it. But
no, I think it's great.
Okay.
It's exciting.
Okay.
You mooned your friend. You were 9?
Something like that.
And your friend laughed so hard.
I think she fell on the floor.
Uh-huh. And then that got us talking about the concept of mooning.
Yes. And what it, like, what's the best context for it?
Mm-hmm.
And what are examples from pop culture? What I remember was that I felt like I'd gone too far because I'd never, like witnessed female mooning. I think that was the thing that I realized. Oh, I've broken the glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You shattered the norm.
Because usually when you see a lady's butt, it's because, mm-hmm. you know, it was the 80s. So she'd be, you know, minding your own business. Some creep would be like peeping on her in a comedy and you'd think I'm on his side.
And speaking of the glass ceiling, we got several listeners that submitted stories about mooning, times that they mooned someone, a big mooning episode in their life.
How does that connect to the glass ceiling?
Well, because one of these stories is from Allison, and it is similarly
a female mooner mooning
a female friend, and it involves a glass surface. So there's quite a few connections here.
Wait, is this pressed hams? Because that's something.
This is a pressed ham. Although she calls it sliced ham, but similarly, this is a pressed ham mooning.
Sliced,
a subgenre.
Do you know about this, Tom?
Subgenre of mooning.
I can put two and two together on this one, where you press
if you put one and one together, you get two butt cheeks.
That's true.
And so, then you. press them up against a window and you got your pressed ham situation.
We should say, welcome to Double Threat. This is our all-star, the Double Threat tribute and to salute to mooning.
It's a three moon salute.
It's going to be a big old episode about mooning. We've got listener stories about mooning. We've also got some episodes from the history of mooning. We'll get into the history of mooning as well. So we're going to do a big old deep dive into mooning.
It's too late, but you know what we should have gotten on? Moon Zappa.
Yeah, that would have been pretty good.
You want to tweet her? Right, you want to tweet her? Just in case.
See if she can come on in real time.
And let's get some, we need some mooning songs to play for the background on some of these.
Besides, so there's Moon River. There's I'm just thinking of Mac Tonight because that McDonald's moon sings it. That racist.
Yeah.
Remember when that moon became a
meme, like a symbol of white power. Mac Tonight.
So when that commercial came out, they started calling it Mickey D's. Mm-hmm. And you know what I thought of when I was kind of little when that came out?
What's that?
I thought they were talking about Mickey Dolenz.
Oh, that's adorable. You picture Mickey Dolenz doing the voice of that moon and be like, "Mash, eh?" with that moon from the McDonald's commercials, do you know who played that moon? Anyone?
Who?
A young Doug Jones played that moon.
Oh wow.
You might know him as the eyes hands guy from the
Of course. Pan's Labyrinth.
He was the fish in the Shape of Water. He's that was one of his first jobs. You know, it'd be a good moon song for you with your story is Sisters of the Moon by Fleetwood Mac.
Yes. Although I don't think she wrote it about that.
Okay.
What are some other moon songs?
I'm dawning on a moon shadow. Moon shadow, moon shadow. Cat Stevens.
Anything by the Moony Suzuki?
You want to kick it off with a moon story?
Let's get into it.
Brad. Okay. All right. So we'll start off with, let me cue some music here. All right, and this story comes to us from Allison. Allison, when I was in middle school, my best friend and I were in...
Hold on. Okay. I have to interrupt you. Hold on. I'm sorry. I just realized this episode is extremely stupid.
You just realized that.
I don't know.
I woke up and I was like... I was like, well, it's going to be funny. It's
time
really
to punch
stupid.
In. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. I just had to express that.
When I was in middle school, my best friend and I were inseparable. One day, my friend was in the bathroom and called for me, which as a middle school-aged girl was a welcome invitation that didn't seem odd at all. When I opened the door, she shouted, "Sliced ham!" and pressed her bare butt against the glass shower door and started sliding it back and forth like deli meat on a slicer. That day, she became a comedy legend in my mind, and 30-plus years later, I still crack up thinking about it. Thanks, Allison.
Yeah, that's a nice story.
Moving it around is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I never thought of the sliced part of it as emotion.
No, look, I've never really mooned anybody. I was thinking about it all week after you said it, and I said I didn't. I don't think I have.
Have you been mooned?
I think someone did moon from a car once. Like in a bad
movie. They stuck their butt outside the car, the way you'd see a dog's head.
Yes, outside the window.
Oh, is that a dog? Okay.
Yeah.
While the car was moving?
While the car was moving. How about you, Brett? What's your mooning history?
You know, I was thinking about this. I don't have any like real iconic mooning stories, but I do remember getting mooned out of car windows on multiple occasions.
I remember, with the car element of it?
I don't know. I remember one time I was just playing basketball in my driveway, minding my own business, and some car drove by and just slowed down, and there was just two butts sticking out the windows. I think two butts sticking out the windows, honking. waggling their butts around, and then they just drove on. And I don't know. I couldn't even see faces. I don't know who it was. I don't know what the purpose, you know, if it was targeted at me or if it was just random. I don't know.
So yeah. Here's my question. With these moon drive-bys, what's the driver doing? Is he like, yeah. Or is he like, I wish I was having the fun.
Who knows? You can't focus on anything but the moon, right?
But you still have to obey the laws of traffic.
No, that's true. But look, I it breaks my heart in a way to picture a young Brett in his driveway playing basketball.
Goes layup, and then he goes foul ball, and he steps back.
Imagining that he's Stacey Augman in his driveway. I'm Stacey Augman. I'm Stacey Augman. I'm Al Horford. Brett in his driveway pretending to be Al Horford. But Al Horford's got the ball.
Three, turns around, two, one. Puts
it up, it's in. Hawks win. Hawks win.
The crowd goes wild. The crowd's going wild.
And then vroom.
Honk, 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 honk.
Yeah.
Waggle, waggle.
Yeah. Brett turns around. What? Oh no.
Hawks lose?
Yeah. Hawks lose. Yeah. Just picturing a young Brett pretending to be Jeff Teague, Kent Bazemore, all his heroes.
Kent Bazemore, you've told me about. You told me about Kent Bazemore.
And the joke for that is, Julie, that would mean Brett was probably about 30 when he was pretending to be Kent Bazemore. Like he's not from that far in the past.
No, he was on the team for like 2 years, like 5 years ago.
So I'm saying that 5 years ago, Brett was in his driveway being like, I'm Kent Bazemore. Kent Bazemore gets the ball. Turn around. It's good. Hawks win.
It could have been Joe and Gary.
Yeah, it could have been Joe and Gary.
Those butts could have been Joe and Gary, and then having Robert Blake at the wheel.
So you got mooned, and what did that feel like to get mooned?
I mean, it was confusing. It was. It's like humiliating, but I can't place why it's humiliating. Like, I feel like I've been targeted as like, I'm the one. I mean, these are the people that have their butts out the window of a car for a stranger. And yet I felt like I was the one who had been humiliated somehow. So it's a weird, like, it's hard to place what's happening exactly.
Sure. Yeah. You're just like, what? Like, you truly don't know what just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that. You're just like, am I supposed to be sad by that? Was that like...
Did I play my part in this?
Yeah. And look, we're not making light of anybody getting like flashed or anything like that. This is just like dumb suburban stuff we're talking about. Just like somebody just pulling their pants down and showing their butt and then driving away. It's just like... It's such a dumb, it's so profoundly dumb.
I just keep going back to the point of view of the driver. Is he like baby driver? Is he the getaway car?
Yeah, it was just like.
Or is he like, next time, you know, Billy takes the wheel and I get to stick my butt out. I'm sick of you two having all the fun.
Yeah, I wonder if they trade places. Like you picture them from their point of view driving through Georgia, and they see a kid in the driveway.
Yeah,
here's one. Get ready.
Places everyone. Places
everybody. Bump, bump. Kid, look at this dumb kid playing basketball. He thinks he's Boris Diaw. Watch this. Watch this. Bonk, bonk. They honk. What?
Well, and speaking of driving while mooning, I actually have one more story here, a listener submitted story of someone who mooned while they were driving a car. The driver.
Illegal. Was the mooner. Illegal. Is there a law? There has to be a law. How is your foot on the gas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like that's multitasking at the highest degree.
I'd say ass or gas. No, not one, both.
Yeah.
Well, as a result of this, they made a terrible mistake that put one of their friendships in jeopardy. So this is quite a story here.
So this is a Jeopardy story.
Yeah.
Mike Richards.
Let's get Mike Richards on the show, Brad.
All right, yeah. Working on it.
Let's let him host Double Threats Jeopardy. We have our own version of Jeopardy.
Or have him host Double Threat, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. He likes podcasts.
Mm-hmm. He's funny as hell.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing. When you saw those jokes, you're like, ooh, these are good.
Yeah. Well, hopefully when he hosts the season debut of Saturday Night Live, season opener.
And your host, Mike Richards.
And musical guest. And Mike Richards Experience.
And he does it in the form of a question. And who is your host?
Mike Richards. It's a name that's so generic that it's shocking one person has it in its own way, where it's just like it sounds so computer generated, like it sounds like you're at a motel,
right?
Mike Richards.
And this is my wife.
This is my wife, Mrs. Richards. Mike Richards.
Mrs. My secretary. I mean, oops. Do you think he changed it after You Know What with Kramer?
Oh, he might have switched. He might have switched to Mike. Yeah, that might have been a Mike.
Mm. Yeah.
That name's not working for people.
What about Mikey? Like Mikey Day? Well, that could be next.
Let's see what happens if there's a Mikey Richards out there. Tread lightly. If your name's Mikey Richards, you're already got two strikes against you. You're playing with fire a little too much just by the nature of your name.
What about Jeff Richards?
Jeff Richards, great, great SNL performer. His Gary Busey, second to none.
Oh, did he do Gary Busey? I just remember Drunk Girl.
He did Drunk Girl. He did Gary Busey. Yeah.
He did his best.
They also served.
Are you pitching that we should celebrate SNL alumni on Veterans Day?
I think I might have. I didn't realize it. I think I will do our special tribute to the veterans of Saturday Night Live.
Denny Dillon. So we do like a, what's that salute? Is it a 21 gun salute where you just shoot shotguns into the air, but we don't tell anybody in advance?
No, and it
scares
everyone.
We're not in the same place and we do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has there been a podcast, Brett, where people talk to SNL alum? There must be some huge SNL podcast out there.
I don't know. Nothing comes to mind. I'm sure there are quite a few, but I don't know if there's a definitive one. If I'm wrong about that, I apologize. But I don't know of a particularly one that focuses on former SNL.
That could be what John's podcast becomes, his character actor podcast, mm-hmm, Household mm-hmm, Faces. Mm-hmm. It could, or he could just do like a summer series.
Yep.
But he'd really have to like double, triple, mm-hmm, quadruple up.
I like John Ross Bowie's podcast,
Household Faces.
And I like the idea behind it. I want to do our version of that, but I want to do one tweak to it. Famous people. Like why get the guy from Alice on, right? The guy hey Alice, I want to know if I could get a ham and cheese sandwich. That guy, why get him when you can go get Leonardo DiCaprio? Just shoot higher.
Yeah, we're pitching that, Brett.
Interesting.
First guest. George Clooney.
Hmm.
Second guest, Brad Pitt.
Mm, okay.
I think we should just do that, but with famous people.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Well, Clammy can book it.
Clammy will make it happen. Clammy rolls in. Oi, George Clooney.
Guess and then what? Back into the, like we get another form letter from Forever Dog being like, amazing news. Yeah. We're delighted to share with you that Clammy is back.
Clammy's back in the fold. He's a roving producer.
He's a contractor. Yeah. He's an independent contractor. Yeah.
Yeah, I got
be working with us on an as-needed basis. Yeah,
I got a Zoom H6 right here. Now put these headphones on. Get your laptop out. You're about to be on a podcast.
And then we get a follow-up email that says, upon further reflection, we decided we shouldn't share that Clammy's back. It's a secret.
Yeah. George Clooney doing a podcast, clearly terrified.
Under, like, with a gun to his head.
Well, when I joined ER, I guess I thought I...
Talk about the facts alive first.
You were on Facts Alive, right? You were on Facts Alive. Talk about that now. Well, I was a young actor at that point, and
like you're excited.
Yeah. You were Batman, weren't you? Talk about that for a bit. Well, I did play Batman. All the guests sound completely terrified.
It could be Forever Dog's first interview podcast by what is it? What would you call that? By gun?
At gunpoint.
At gunpoint?
Yeah.
It's called interviews. A-listers at gunpoint.
A-listers at gunpoint. Forever Dog presents.
With Clammy.
With Clammy. A.K.A. Gary. Right. So give me, you got Jake Gyllenhaal's address, right?
The end of every episode is when he forces the celebrity to open up the contacts app in their cell phone.
Yeah.
And go, keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Scrolling.
And then
stop there. Yeah.
All right, look.
All right, now keep scrolling.
Okay, I see some good names here. Wouldn't mind doing a little bit of a sit down with
Judy Dench. With
Dame Judy Dench, right? I want to get Jack Nicholson on the show. You're in my hot Colin tub. Cook. I'm in my hot tub.
He makes them call.
Yeah.
To be like, tell him everything's fine.
Yeah.
And you're gonna And a real nice bloke's going to call him and they're going to do whatever he says.
Yeah. Nice wood-burning pizza oven you got here in your backyard. Be a shame if something happened to it. And at the end, he's just like, so anything you want to plug? And George Clooney's like, well, ER is on TBS.
On DVD. It's on Peacock. It's streaming on Peacock. Yeah,
it's streaming on Peacock. What else you want to plug? No, I'm okay, really. No, plug something. Like now they're scared. Do they have to plug something? Well, The Peacemaker is currently available for streaming, a movie I did with Nicole Kidman a while ago.
I never heard of that one.
Yeah. Didn't catch that one.
What's her number?
Should be a good guess. That way I get her and Keith Urban.
Well, this next mooning story is quite a wild one here. This comes from this comes from Brianna. Brianna sent us this one. My friend once mooned our other friend while driving in her car. She was so focused on the mooning and driving that she didn't realize that this friend was with his grandparents and his parents at the time. He was furious, and afterwards he texted us, "Not cool! You just mooned three generations of my family."
That must have been an amazing moment when you have to help your grandparents understand what just happened.
What was that? Well, they wouldn't know. I mean, it's that thing you always say about old people. Like, they know what butts are. Yeah,
but just maybe not. They might not know the why of it. Like, why did they do that? They understood what just happened. They might not understand why that just happened.
Dear.
Yeah.
Why did that happen?
Yeah. Was that your friend?
Three generations of my family is such a funny term.
That's perfect. Yeah.
It's like an affliction. It's like an affliction. It's like, oh, yes. Irritable bowel affects three generations of my family.
That's a great story, Brianna.
I definitely want to get to the bottom of this car. I feel like, and I know that, Brett, you have a special, you have something special prepared for us later, but I am curious to get to the bottom of like how the rise of car culture in Los Angeles especially plays into the trend of mooning, because I feel like they're connected. I feel like cars, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Because it's like kids are driving around in cars all night. That's like, it's car culture. They're just driving up and down like American Graffiti style, hanging out in cars. Right. And then that the path to that is very clear.
Do you think that movie Tucker, about the guy that invented the car with three headlights or two steering wheels or something?
They got two steering wheels.
Brett, are you looking up Tucker?
I'll look it up. I will say too, Julie, I think you're spot on about the car culture thing, because the you know, in my research, there is a long history of people showing their butts at other people throughout history, you know, as an insult or as a provocation. But the concept of mooning and the term mooning as this sort of joke or prank thing doesn't really come around until the 60s. It's a very recent thing of like this, you know, it's called mooning and you do it as a joke. That really comes together in the 60s. And mooning really, you know, becomes like a prank.
Now, the next part of this that it becomes glaringly obvious, Brett, is that you have a functional knowledge of the history of mooning somehow, which is
I just want to say very quickly with that Tucker thing, it'd be three butt cheeks. Go ahead.
So if you were going to Tucker somebody, your friend would have to do
one cheek.
Moon. That'd be like that's called a Tucker moon,
right? You could sit, I mean, whatever, that's up to you, but I was just saying, like, you could sit on the corner of the window to just have one cheek out.
So it'd be a Tucker moon, a moon, and your screams would be the, right? Because the movie was Tucker, a man in his dreams.
So this is about, so Jeff Bridges made a car that had three headlights and I'm supposed to watch a movie about it?
Yeah. I did a double feature of this one and the one where Greg Kinnear invented windshield wipers. And then I watched The Founder, where they invent hamburgers, and I just watch movies about, and then I watch Joy, where she invents a mop. Programming.
Mm-hmm. And I had a dream where Taya Leone like invented the air freshener tree.
Julie, if you spent 15 minutes figuring out who invented the air freshener, you could probably get someone attached to it, to like a like a true A-lister. Be like, yeah, I'll tell that story.
And it really is all about telling stories.
They're making a Flaming Hot Cheetos movie. What else we got, Brett? Any other?
Well, let's get one more listener story, and then we can dive into the history of mooning if you want. There's some really interesting stuff in the history of mooning. So this comes to us from Tyler. Tyler told us this story, and this is I really like this one. One second, sorry, let me share sound. Once, at the restaurant I work at, a young man submitted an application. Kind of a generic application form that had specific questions and scenarios and so forth. There was a question that asked, "Have you ever been fired from a job, and if so, why?" And the kid willfully wrote in, "Yes," for mooning the customers at Dunkin' Donuts. I don't think he got the gig, but I'm still laughing at his honest answer years later.
He worked there and he mooned them?
Yes.
And then he admitted it on
a job application. Presumably he got fired from Dunkin' Donuts and then went across the street to apply at another place and then admitted on the application that he had got fired from Dunkin' Donuts for mooning the customers.
That's somebody who doesn't know how things work. Like, they didn't ask.
Just tell them.
Yeah. We'll just tell them.
Why don't
you? They'll appreciate my honesty. But they know I don't.
They know I don't work there anymore. Yeah.
No, what?
Want to know why?
Why? Why did you get fired?
Because I mooned some kids. I like that they're kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I mooned some kids over at Dunkin' Donuts across the street.
I mean, I'm picturing the drive-through window.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is extremely funny to take someone's order and then just say, all right, pull up and you'll have your order ready. And a butt.
And you pull around and you're getting mooned.
A bare butt.
Brett.
Yes.
You also seem to know about the history of mooning somehow. God knows how.
We need some context. And
oh, I'm more than happy to provide it. I actually whipped up this handy little PowerPoint here. Let me just share this with you guys.
Please don't use the phrase whipped up. Oh, look at this. This guy actually puts together the history of what mooning.
And this looks like it's from a template.
I did use a template. Yeah, I used a pre-loaded template in PowerPoint.
Rich autumnal colors. Makes you wanna, you know, get ready for Halloween.
Yeah. This is a real festive little presentation you put together in terms of your color scheme.
I appreciate that.
Are you gonna take this out of our paycheck when it's like services rendered, PowerPoint? Probably. Is this gonna come out of our
that PowerPoint thing costs $3,000? Great.
And then there's also a line item that just says clammy miscellaneous.
Yeah. 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 What clammy $81,000 for services rendered?
I mean, this does feel like above and beyond. I mean, you know, I listen to some of these podcasts, these producers.
They kinda, you did a great job. You
know, like, I don't know who's going this far.
You did a great job.
No, we're
it's,
not putting...
It's really amazing, especially since it's not a visual show at all, but it really is. You did a great job. You did. I'm telling you now, you did a great job. Of course.
Now, this is great. And everybody knows, all kidding aside, they know what time it is with Double Threat, that they might have their producer, their Kevin Bartelts or whatever you want to say.
Who?
And those guys, they can't. You'd be amazed if they even knew how to make a cheese sandwich at this point. Like guys like that.
You put the cheese on the top again.
Yeah, I ate the cheese and then I got the bread out, and then that's the cheese sandwich. Great, Kevin. That's a cheese sandwich.
It's a sea of goofuses.
Yeah, and we got the gallant.
Yep. Oh, hey, look at that. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Now I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling real confident about this. And to be honest, I could have written a book on this topic, the history of mooning. There's so many historical episodes in the history of mooning. But I condensed it to just a five slide PowerPoint here.
Okay.
Some of the key moments in the history of mooning. And the first, we'll kick it off with the, this is a tragic one. The first mooning on record is quite a tragic event, actually. The first mooning on record happened in the first century AD, and it's recorded.
Wait a minute. Yep. Okay. Hold on, please. There's a image on this slide, Tom.
Yes.
That I'm already concerned about.
I think Brett might have worked this one up with Mike Richards.
No. What's going on here, Brett? There's a book cover on here for a book called The Jewish War. And all I'm asking for in the future is just a heads up.
Sure. Yeah. I apologize. Yeah. So this is all history, though. I'm not editorializing
it's
here.
It's just like, no, I know. But it's also the history of mooning. And I wasn't prepared. Like if you were going to go to a thing that's like, oh, someone's going to talk to us about milkshakes. Yeah. And then the first slide was like Kristallnacht.
Yeah, so he's like the protocols of the elders of Zion. I want to talk about that for a while. You're just like, wait, I thought we were talking about milkshakes. No, we will. We'll get to milkshakes. Don't worry. We'll get
By the way,
there.
Talk about a bad title. You give that to a Jewish producer, he'll be like, just call it Protocol.
Yeah.
I should have given a warning here, but this is okay. You know, this is how mooning works. You think it's a jokey little thing, and then you get into the history of it, and it's happening in wars
no
and battles and
it.
Throughout history. It's really it's more of a critical thing than you think it is throughout history. And this book is by the Roman Jewish historian Josephus, who wrote a lot about the Roman occupation of Judea in the first century, kind of the time of Jesus and all that period of history.
So intense.
And according to Josephus in this book, which is, I will say, poorly translated as the Jewish War. It's sort of the I think the wars between the Romans and the Jewish population is kind of the actual translation. So he writes that
it would be better to call it the Roman Jewish War.
Yes, the Roman Jewish War is it would be a better title. Yeah.
Right. In other words, we didn't start it.
No, not at all. No. No, this is the Romans are the villains of this book by far, and you'll see why. During the celebration of Passover in Jerusalem one year, a Roman soldier bared his rear to a crowd of Jewish pilgrims who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. So this is the first mooning on record, the first historical mooning. And some in the crowd responded by throwing rocks at the soldier. After that, a riot ensued that killed upwards of 30,000 people. And a closer examination of Josephus' account shows that the soldier was not only mooning, but he was also farting while he mooned, which is a something you see a lot with these early moonings, is they will fart while they're mooning. So this Roman soldier did that, and then 30,000 people died as a result.
This is...
I have so many conflicting things. I'm bored because it's old history somehow. First of all, I have a thing where I get reflexively bored at it. It just looks old. I'm slightly, some part of me kicks in where I am not at 100% focus on it.
What's your cutoff point for history? Mine is like 1959.
Yeah, I would say for me.
Say like, yeah, parts of World War II.
Yeah, I'm okay with the 40s, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So we'll say the 40s.
Yeah.
Anything before that is a little sleepy.
Yes. So I have that feeling. I feel embarrassed because it's so unfunny what this guy did, and yet interested. I could not be more scattered on this. Mm-hmm. It brings out a lot of emotions, Brett. And then it also makes me just think of Frank Zappa again, that this just seems like something he'd be so proud that this shows he's a part of like a tradition with his humor.
I'm kind of like, there was a guy back then, Josephus. I'm only operating from what Josephus started.
I think that I have all of those feelings, plus at least I never did the worst thing at Passover.
Sure.
I've ruined some Passovers, don't get me wrong, but nothing like this.
Yeah. Do you know what Bob Hope called Passover? He said the Oscars were his Passover because they always passed over him. They never nominated him for anything. But then again, it's like, what does this guy want to get? Bob Hope wants to get nominated for an Oscar? It's like, you're awful.
What did you do that you deserve an Oscar?
Yeah. Weird.
For golf? He wants to win an Oscar for playing golf?
But I love it, that thing where it's just like, no, I'm famous. Okay, well, great. That's why.
Fine. Congratulations.
That's why you're handed money.
He's an airport. Right, that's what the money's for. He has an airport named after him.
Yeah. I want an Oscar. Okay. I would like the money you have.
Right.
So, Brett, that's the start of
Brett, this. Yeah,
so that's
the start. You did a very good job.
But man,
first century AD.
Oh, I'm just getting going. I'm just getting warmed up here. So mooning really gets going in the medieval ages, the middle ages, the medieval period.
Now, this is a slide that Brett has captioned the medieval mooning boom.
And that's because in the Middle Ages, Chaucer, all these guys, farts. Everybody's mooning and farting all over the place in the Middle Ages. It becomes a really popular practice. It was a golden age of mooning. There's tons of accounts of soldiers mooning each other on the battlefield. You think of that scene in Braveheart. You know, there's a lot of that going on. You'll see a lot of
Wait.
Yeah.
That seems like a okay. I don't remember. I don't think either of us have seen Braveheart.
I've
right,
never
Tom?
Seen Braveheart.
But doesn't that seem like a bad way to win a war? Is to like stop, turn over, and show? I guess they were wearing kilts. Maybe it was easier.
Well, it often backfired because people would moon as you know, an insult, and then get like an arrow in the backside, you know, as a result. So it was kind of like there was
a
lot
of making this stuff up, Brett.
No, I'm an historian. Expert.
Are you yeah. sure?
Yeah, I have the I got the receipts on this stuff. I swear this is true.
Okay.
And particularly, there's one account here I wanted to bring to your attention. One account from the Middle Ages that tells of the Italian nobleman and troubadour Alberco da Romana, who in the first half of the 13th century he was a falconer as well as all these other things, and he lost his favorite falcon during a hunt. And he was so upset that he had lost this falcon that he dropped his trousers and exposed his rear to the lord that he was under as a sign of abuse. So he lost his falcon, and then basically the guy who was in charge of the hunt, he mooned him because he was so upset about this lost falcon.
To be fair, how is that the lord's fault?
It's a good question.
The falcon fucked off.
Yeah.
Why did he have to show his buns to the guy he works for? He's like, I lost my bird, so I'm going to moon my boss.
Hey, I want to say I'm sorry about mooning you earlier. I'm just so upset about my falcon. You know, it was really my favorite falcon. I know you didn't have anything to do with it. I was really taking it out on you. I want to just say I'm sorry about mooning you before.
And then the Lord is like, I doth forgive you.
Yeah. I mean, that falcon just meant a lot to me. And, you know, just really, I know I'm taking out the wrong person.
And he was a nobleman and a troubadour.
Yeah, so a poet, like a traveling poet. This is, you know, a lot of these accounts, we don't get a lot of the context. So I think you're right. I don't know why he targeted the Lord. I guess maybe he was just sort of generally upset, and that was the first person that he saw, you know, or the first person that he could sort of pin it to.
Hey, man, can I talk to you for a minute? Yeah, what's up?
I just feel like I need to clear the air. I just need to clear the air again.
I just need to say, look, I know we're cool, right? With that whole thing where my falcon was gone. And then, because I mean, look, I am a falconer. And so, I mean, it's a big part of who I am. So you can see why I'd be upset. But again, I took it out on the wrong person. I'm so sorry. It's just something I just got from my family's very, it's like, how many times are you going to keep saying you're sorry? You're
making it worse. Just get past it. You're making it about you at a certain point.
You're making the apology. You're forcing me to accept to just get past this. I'm still upset that you mooned me. It's not my fault that your falcon took off.
Your favorite falcon. You have like seven more. Yeah. Why don't you pay attention to them instead of dealing with the one you lost? Who's probably, by the way, in a happier place.
Yeah. Wherever that falcon may be. All right, so that's the medieval mooning boom.
Yeah, so let's zoom up to the 20th century. Let's get a little more modern with it here. And by this point, the term mooning has come into fashion. In around the 60s, people started actually using the term mooning to refer to this practice. There was a long history of the moon being kind of an analogy for the butt. And so that all came together in the 60s, and they started calling it mooning when you dropped your drawers.
So that's when the phrase arrived. It was 20th century.
Yes, yeah, 20th century, around the 1960s, and the first use of it is apparently in a issue of Look magazine in 1963. The Look magazine described a game called mooning, and according to them,
a game.
So I guess, you know, moon people, then you run, something like that. And according to Look, the game originated about 2 years ago in Southern California. That is just historically inaccurate. It had been around for thousands of years at that point. But that's what Look said. That's when mooning starts being used as a term.
But it was coined. It was coined, sounds like, in L.A., like we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, do you still subscribe to Look magazine?
I do, yes. I really just... It really...
Do you like it?
I love to just look at the photos and the articles.
Do you like when your postman comes with a copy and he goes, look, magazine?
Well, he brings the Saturday Evening Post. And every Saturday evening I read that. Mondays are for life. Mm-hmm. Wednesdays are for look.
Sure.
And he's like, got something for you.
And then Thursdays, all the like titty mags. That's Jugs.
Yeah, Nugget.
Honey, like Honey Beaver.
Yeah.
And the gay ones too, like Modern Muscles.
Yeah, Honcho.
Outdoor Sportsman.
Sure. Then I just get all those. It's just I'm very pro magazine.
I like that it was a game in the 60s. Like, I like the idea of Jigsaw showing up on your ransomware and saying, want to play a game?
Yeah, or would you like to play a game? The robot from War Games.
And then he turns around and I bet he has a target painted on each one of his butt cheeks, Jigsaw.
I would
like he does on his regular cheeks.
Like he's got those little spirals, you mean?
That's what I meant.
Yeah, I would guarantee that's the case, yes.
Well, one of the most famous incidents of mooning in the 20th century is an annual festivity that takes place in Southern California, in Orange County, and it's called the Mooning of the Amtrak. The Mooning of the Amtrak.
Oh, this photo makes me sick.
This is gross.
I've got a video, too.
This, really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, tell us about this nightmare.
Since 1979, the Mooning of the Amtrak has been an annual tradition in Orange County, California. Every year on the second Saturday of July, hundreds to thousands of people gather along the fence outside of the Mugs Away Saloon in Laguna Niguel, and they drop their pants to expose their behinds as the Amtrak trains roll by. The trains even slow down so that the passengers can enjoy the show.
God, is this still going on?
Oh, yeah. Every year in July.
In July. So we missed it.
Yeah. Sadly.
Mm-hmm. What train is it?
Oh, it's every train. Every train that rolls by on these tracks.
From when to when, though? Like, it's not all day, is it?
Yeah, it does. The mooning starts with the first Amtrak train, which passes by around 7:30 a.m. and goes on all throughout the day.
What time do you have to get up? Hold on. Yeah. You have to get up. What time do these people set their alarms for this nonsense?
You might be staying up on this one, Julie.
What kind of tomfoolery is this?
They might just be staying up.
They better be. People better be drunk.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it started. The legend has it that the mooning of the Amtrak started as a dare between patrons at Mugs Away, the saloon, and then grew from there. So it started out as like a, hey, I'll dare you to go moon the Amtrak. And then it became this annual tradition. And I've got a little video if you want to see.
I don't like that the train slows down.
No, I don't like
down.
That part at all. I think that's gross. And it normalizes this weird ritual.
It gives them attention. 32nd annual mooning.
Back in 2012.
Oh my God.
Here at Mugs Away, I mean, this is the annual Moon Amtrak Day, or Moon Metrolink as it may be.
It's been going on for I don't know how many years. We're all sitting across the street, and then also the train will come and everybody screams, the train is here! And they start running across the street. We go over there, we turn around, and we pull down our pants, and we wave, and the train goes really slow for us, too, which is really cool.
This woman is wearing Mardi Gras beads. I should have people know.
And they are having a great time.
Is that woman fully naked on the right?
It gets people together, and yeah, it's just a gathering of people. You know, just having fun.
Well, past years have been a lot bigger. We used to bring trailers, and we would sleep Friday night. And as soon as we heard the train, we'd get up, and we'd just go out of the trailer and go out there and moon. So it's been a little bit cool now, but I'm sure it'll get bigger again eventually in a couple of years. In 2008, it was pretty bad.
What happened in 2008?
Oh, you don't want to know.
What happened in 2008? Were there casualties? Yeah.
Grandpa, what happened?
In the 2008. Happened at Mugs Away in 2008.
Don't ask your grandfather.
Don't you
that.
Ever.
Yeah.
Who told you?
You want to know what happened? Back 2008. It was a dark time.
The Amtrak went by. Someone on the train was on the roof of the train.
Slow down was the problem. The train didn't slow down, and it decapitated somebody who didn't know how to moon. They thought that meant stick your head out.
The head rolled past. The head hit every one of our butts.
Well, no,
but seriously, the human race had a good run, and this is this is a nice little after dinner mint on humanity, the mooning of the Amtrak ritual.
I like the wiggle, though. I do like when these people, and there is an art to it, which is only exposing your butt and not your genitals, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's where this is still wholesome. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's completely wholesome, but
it's just so funny though to like start a tradition. It's just like oh, this is allowed. If like can I just go do something and then say, "Oh, it's a tradition. It's the first one. I'm starting a like
there's
oh yeah.
12 people there. There's 12 people there.
Like those things when people like in Princeton, there was a thing that started where like the kids would like, oh, the first time it snows at Princeton University, the kids streak on campus. And you're just like, well, who starts that?
Streaking is a good companion to mooning. It's more commitment.
Yeah. No, we'll do a tribute to streaking also. That's coming.
I'll start researching it.
Yeah, get your PowerPoint game in order for the streaking. Because
wasn't there like a Ray Stevens song about streak?
Yeah,
about
the streak. Oh, wasn't right. they call so it he, the streak?
And did he ever write anything about mooning?
There must be some novelty song about mooning.
Mr. Stevens. I'm all out of inspiration. Get out of my yard. Mr. Stevens, we need you ever so.
It's like Amadeus, but with Ray Stevens writing the
They're
streak.
Begging him to compose a new. They're like, you know, the mooning of the Amtrak only had 6 people instead of 12 this year. Yeah. We really need some kind of a song to rally people. Leave me alone. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Find him in his cabin in the woods.
Ray Stevens. I haven't been called that in a long time.
And then he like, leave me alone. I'm going back to work. And he goes back to work. And then all of a sudden, through the window, you see like 2 butt cheeks.
You hear like a squeak.
And I've got one final installment in the history of mooning here. One of the most famous moons in history happened in 2012. It's when Elton John mooned Michael Caine's yacht in the French Riviera.
Oh, my God. I don't know this at all.
So,
you know about this guy?
No.
Elton John's yacht and Michael Caine's yacht passed each other in the French Riviera. And Elton John dropped trowel.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
This is
tell people what
yeah. So this is Elton John mid moon. We got everybody else on the yacht is having a good old time waving at Michael Caine. Elton John is turned around.
He's not even bent over. And he's got his hands on his hips. He's still standing.
Yeah, he's still mooning.
Oh my God! I did not expect any of this. Was Michael Caine mooning back? Do you think? Remember when a monkey stole his glasses?
Did I just get mooned by Sir Elton John?
Break it to me straight. Me, Michael Caine. I was blinded. Do you remember when a monkey stole his glasses?
When a monkey stole Michael Caine's glasses?
Yeah, it was in one of his audiobooks or one of his books.
I don't.
He went to the jungle and a monkey stole his glasses, which is very funny because there's a monkey somewhere with those gigantic square glasses around being like, oh, look at me. I'm Michael Caine.
Yeah. I'm Monkey Caine. Right? My name is Monkey Caine.
Here it is. Here it is. He said, well, do it in your voice, Tom. Do it as Michael Caine.
I lost my specs in the most amazing ways. In a jungle in India, a monkey landed bang on my head and stole a pear right off my nose, scratching my bloody forehead. My bloody forehead. That was awful, but yeah. Which one of you killed my brother?
Which one of you monkeys stole my glasses?
Which one of you monkeys stole my glasses?
And then the monkey goes back to its tribe, and then all the other monkeys have to listen to everything it says because he's the king now.
Yeah, and then the monkey goes back with the glasses and then immediately does, it becomes the Michael Caine of monkeys.
He's not there to accept his Oscar for Hedda and Her Sisters because he's shooting Jaws 3.
Greatest story ever when he's like, I didn't see
Jaws. Good for him. You know what? He's working. Yeah. He's working.
It's a great thing.
Good for him. Greatest, that was awesome.
One of the greatest showbiz quotes of all time is him saying, I didn't see Jaws 3, but I did see the house that it bought, and it's magnificent. It's one of the greatest quotes ever.
Do we have more stories, Brett?
Oh, yeah. I got another story coming up now. This is from Samorama. Samorama.
Ah!
Yeah.
Moon Age Daydream?
I mooned the cast of the High School Musical I was on the tech crew of from the catwalk of the theater. I was dating a guy in the cast and he dumped me, so that was my revenge. Boy, I showed him.
I want to know what musical it was.
American Psycho.
I wish.
American Psycho. Gonna What's he go gonna kill do? Some people
gonna
today.
Kill me and he's gonna kill you.
Business cards, everybody's got a new business card.
That was a song.
Mine's on paper and you gotta check it out. It's got embossed lettering. business cards.
What movie do you think would make a good musical? That hasn't been made into a musical yet.
Election.
That's true. That would be a great musical.
I'm serious. I think that'd be a great one.
It would be an amazing musical. Do you think there should be a song from the point of the view of the bee that stings Matthew Broderick's eye? I do.
That would be great.
I'm a busy, busy bee, and I'm going about my biz. Biz, biz, biz. Look at who it is. It's Matthew Broderick from film and TV. He's going to get stung by a bee.
A bee named me.
And there's a song called Her Pussy Gets So Wet.
Oh my God.
That movie rules, and that line is shocking.
Well, one more. I got one more mooning story for you. Want one more?
Yes, please.
All right, this comes from Derek. Derek's mooning story. I'm going to queue up a blue moon here. We're running out of songs, but we got one left here.
Not Derek the crying magician.
Yeah.
I don't think
Derek.
So.
Not Derek.
Is this?
Yeah, not Derek Wibley from Sum 41.
I don't know. I mean, there's no last name. It could be.
But here's my impression of the crying magician after his show closes and he has to do other magic. Is this your card?
I sawed her in half. You got something
Watch
in your ear.
This. You got- Why can't the scarf stop?
So many scarves. We gotta get him on the show.
Okay.
And then we'll show him things and make him not cry. Yeah.
Let's hear this Mooney story. Like, and I got
the
some,
end of Old Yeller. Well, let's
write him, should we write him a letter? Dear Crybaby. Dear Crybaby, come on the show. Tom and Julie. And that's all it says. Now, let's not bother him.
Don't do that. Don't tweet that. It'll hurt his feelings. He'll cry. It will make him cry.
I have a feeling that guy don't cry so much in real life.
I mean, there's almost a version of the game show Make Me Laugh called Make Me Cry.
Well, that would... Oh, my God. That would be the greatest show.
They show you, like, the end of Old Yeller over and over again.
When I was in high school, me and my best friend played in a band. My friend's little brother was the drummer. He was a freshman playing in a band with two seniors, and he relished the attention he got. One night after playing a show, we went to a local In-N-Out with a few of our friends. The vibes were good until 20 to 25 members of the high school football team showed up, fresh from a game, and wasted no time making fun of the weird, pierced kids eating burgers in peace in the corner. After 20 minutes or so of the vibes getting worse, we decided it was best to get in the van and leave. We all got in the van and then realized that our drummer was nowhere to be found. "Damn it, where's Nathaniel?" his brother exclaimed. We then saw Nathaniel, 95 pounds soaking wet, booking it across the parking lot, followed by every single football player. The joint emptied out so fast, Nathaniel dives into the van and says, "We need to go." I pressed my bare ass against the window where the jocks were sitting. We never drove so fast. Nathaniel was beaming, proud that he mooned the jocks. Jonathan, his brother, was fuming, lecturing him the whole time, and I was laughing, so glad I was living in this moment.
That's beautiful. Oh my God, that rules.
Now I'm going to cry. At what point in the show Make Me Cry? Well, we'll get Mike Richards to executive produce it.
Mm-hmm.
Do we just start letting people bring onions?
I think maybe if you, maybe an onion is like a bonus thing where it's just like, and you get an onion. Like to help you, to help is like a...
Because that could also be like the quiz show scandals of the contestants on Make Me Cry fill out a form that says what you're allergic to. And if it's pollen, and they realize that the contestants are all wearing these like corsages, and they're leaning over and they're saying, "Once upon a time, a little girl didn't get a puppy she wanted." The contestants is like tearing up.
Yeah.
And then they sue the network for like, "Everyone saw that, thought I had emotional problems."
Yeah. "Your show makes me look insane."
"That story about a little girl who couldn't get a puppy and I have tears running down my cheeks.
I'm finding it hard to get employment now." And
Mike Richards is like, "Just try it, bitch." Like Mike Richards becomes like a unhinged monster because he's got nothing left to lose.
Yeah. Mike Richards, you're welcome on this show anytime.
Host it.
Host Double Threat.
I don't care. Be my guest.
I don't know. Who knew America loved Jeopardy as much as they do? Who knew? Jeopardy felt like a thing getting stuck with my grandparents. What?
That's why you prank called them for revenge later.
Make me watch Jeopardy. See what happens next time your phone rings. Might get a call from somebody trying to sell you a collie.
How did you disguise your voice?
Well, probably like
high
this.
Or low.
Oh, hello. Yes, I'm a grown up. And I'm calling. And anytime anyone identifies themselves as a grown up, it's a kid. Because have you ever called yourself, "Well, I'm a grown up"?
"Hi, I'm a grown up. I was wondering what time you close today."
"Oh, yes. Hello. I'm a grown up. And I'd like to find out."
You know, we've talked about doing a prank call episode of Double Threat. I mean, I wonder if that's in the cards now. I'd love to see these skills dusted off and put to use.
I'll do it.
"Hello, it's me, Tiny Tim." That's my my version of a prank call. I'm not good at them.
I would do it. I'll do it. I'll dust off the old
the old voice box.
The old dust off the old little suction cup recorder thing, because you want to record them. I don't have any.
I had one of those. Do you have tapes them? Still?
I don't.
Oh my God! Come on. Yes, you do. You're just.
I really don't.
Selfish.
I would love it. There was one prank I did that was so good to this the pizzeria where there's this pizza. It worked at the music store, and these David Bowie tickets show up in the mail, concert tickets. And I realized nobody here ordered. So I look, I figure out they delivered them to the wrong address. They had the right street number, wrong street. Very similar sounding street names. So I figure I do all this deduction to figure out it's a pizzeria they're supposed to go to. I call. I'm like, hey, did anybody there by any chance order David Bowie tickets? And this one guy gets on and he goes, yeah, that was me. Oh, my God. Those are my tickets. I was like, okay, well, I'll bring them by. So I drive to the pizzeria, get there. Guy, I was like, yeah, I got this. I talked to somebody with David Bowie tickets. He says, yeah, it's me. He takes the envelope, looks at them. He goes, I want to make sure they're all there. And then doesn't even say thank you for them. It's like, first of all, if I stole a David, one of the tickets, I'm going to be sitting next to you at the show, you moron. The guy who brought the tickets, suddenly you have one less than you're supposed to, and then I'm at the show. It's like, how dumb. So
yeah,
so I'm just like, I gotta get this guy back. So I prank phone call him from the music store, and I was like, mm-hmm. I'd like to ask about your pizza. Like, this is the voice I'm doing. Like, are the peppers fresh? And like, I'm like, are your peppers fresh? And like, I was like, what size pizzas do you have? And it's like, well, we got a small, medium, large. Like, how big is the large? And he's like, it's like 16 inches. I'm like, is that radius or diameter? Guys, it gets to the diameter. And then I just start asking what ingredients are fresh. And he goes, all of our ingredients are fresh. He finally gets mad. He's like, they're all fresh. And I go, that's not what I heard. He's like, people don't like your pizza. They say it's bad. He goes, our pizza's the best. Like, I really wound the guy up good. And I was just like, meh, that's a little bit old Tom Justice right there.
Do you regret not keeping the tickets? Or were you?
No, I don't. I didn't care. I didn't want to see the Glass Spider tour or whatever it was.
Oh, come on.
It was David Bowie at his absolute worst. That point, gotta go see him. He's gonna come out to do Blue Jean. I just met a girl named Blue Jean. She's got electric boots.
What happened around that time? Did he run out of people to steal from? Do you think he was just watching like Richard Marx videos?
I think he was so hooked on maintaining the superstar status that he had finally achieved with Let's Dance that the stuff got so bland, right, and commercial. He was just being as commercial as he could be, and these records were getting knocked out so quickly. Like, they're clearly like filled with half thoughts and stuff. Like, his version of God Only Knows, oh my God, it's one of the worst.
Oh God, I never heard that.
Brett, as a way to wind up the show, can you play his version? I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. Like the David Bowie. He's like, dude, he's doing the worst David Bowie impression.
Yeah.
It's like bad stand-up. It's just like, what would it be like if Jack Nicholson worked at McDonald's drive-thru? Like, what if David Bowie covered the Beach Boys? If you
should ever leave me, it really does sound like an impersonator. Would still go on, leave me.
The world could show nothing to me. But what good, so would, what good would living do me?
Oh, yeah, God only knows.
what I'd be without you.
Terrible. How it's bad.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
I may not always love you, but what?
You think he's phoning it in?
I think he might literally be phoning it in. At one point, you hear the line click, and he goes, "Hold on a second." And then he comes back. He comes back. He's just like, "Yeah, okay, I'll start singing it again." Hold on, they're click. It's clicking again. Right? It's clicking again. I need to see who it is.
I have to take this. I'll call you back.
he stops the song halfway through because says he has to take it. It's quite important. I need to take this.
Are the peppers fresh?
Are the peppers fresh? Like I was doing that voice. Are your peppers fresh?
Like Droopy Dog.
It was like Droopy Dog. Boy, I was having a great time back then.
Well, thank you for listening to our silly show.
Yes, thank you for listening. This was a fun one. And
we'll be back next week.
If you're going to moon people, be safe. That's all we ask. Be respectful and safe.
Make sure that the person driving is not intoxicated.
Yes, and that they have their eyes on the road.
And cover your genitals, because otherwise it's not funny.
Yeah, no, that's just aggressive. So thanks, everybody. And we will be back next week with another episode.
And subscribe to us and rate us on Apples.
And check the merch out over at...
something.
DoubleThread.com. TeePublic.com.
See, it's hard to do.
It is hard. TeePublic.com/store/double-threat. Or follow the link in the show notes. And if you're wanting more Double Threat, you can't get enough. I threw up a little bonus clip that didn't make it into last week's episode, but it was a great clip. So if you go back in the feed, you'll see a bonus clip about a Mr. Bill lawsuit in the 1980s that Julie talked about last week. That was a tremendous clip. And that was BetterHelp was nice enough to sponsor us putting out that extra clip. So maybe we'll do some more of that.
Yeah. And sounds good.
Buy Tom's book.
Yes. My book. It never ends.
Available at TomWroteABook.com.
Yes. And thank you. Bye.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.